We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the edition of Dynasty Cast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. The NFL Draft is in the books. You know, just your NFL Draft reaction show 1 week after the NFL Draft occurred. But Thursday morning, hope we're getting this up Thursday night. Dynasty Cast, RotoViz Radio, we're ready to cook on our post-draft podcast. How did the NFL Draft treat you and early draft season treat you, Dan?
Well, a lot of interesting draft picks per usual, a couple of wildly surprising ones, and, you know, the rookie drafts just kind of end up being chalk at the end of the day. Nobody really goes and gets their guy because that value exists. So rookie drafts are a little bit more boring than like a rookie auction, but it's still rookie season, and now we just get to sit back and trade and watch the rest develop.
All right, so we're going to start us off with the Arizona Cardinals, what they did during the NFL draft. The first one, fourth overall pick, pretty much we saw it pretty much as soon as it was clear that picks 1, 2, 3 were quarterback. It was also pretty clear that pick number 4 would be Marvin Harrison Jr. at pick number 4 to the Arizona Cardinals. And then they also selected Trey Benson on day 2 of the NFL draft, top of the 3rd round. What are your 2 thoughts on these selections? They also selected Tip Reamann, who I think is just a blocking tight end for Trey McBride.
I thought that was Rip, whatever his name was, from Dodgeball when I saw the name. Who I don't think he's even alive. RIP. Maybe it's RIP Tipman. Anyways, yeah, Cardinals obviously kill it with Marvin Harrison Jr. Like you said, it was very clear that it was going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. I wouldn't say 1 or 2 was even in play to move out. I think Patriots was where it started, and when they didn't, it essentially locked in Arizona here, which, you know, how are you going to complain about getting the best wide receiver in the draft and a just pretty much immediate superstar getting help for Kyler Murray? There's a few other places I would have preferred, but obviously getting yourself at least a serviceable quarterback, a good fantasy quarterback, but a serviceable NFL quarterback. And then you also grab Trey Benson, who, I mean, I get, you know, because Jonathan Brooks went first, but Arizona for Trey Benson is way better than Carolina is for Jonathan Brooks. Carolina's offense is still bad. That team is still bad. Trey Benson's team is at least middling. They're middle of the road. And with Kyler Murray, that's going to provide a lot more upside. Yes, I do know that James Conner still exists, but he is not long for the NFL. And I actually prefer Trey Benson to Jonathan Brooks in just about every case here.
Is that purely situation related? Is that also factoring in a potential, you know, not full 2024 for Jonathan Brooks? Like, where is that separation happening for you? Is it the landing spot? Is it the injury? Is it a mix of both?
Well, I like Trey Benson better to begin with, but I think the landing spot in Arizona is better. You have Kyler. I know that we're hoping Bryce Young is something, but again, that team is still bad. They, you know, yeah, they go and add Deontay Johnson, but I don't know that that's really going to do a lot. They have still so many gaps. So yeah, for me, I'm pretty much, now this doesn't mean that I'm putting Trey Benson up where a lot of people are putting Jonathan Brooks, because I don't think any of these running backs are top eight in rookie drafts. It would probably be like Benson 8, Brooks 9 for me. So it's not a big gap. I just prefer Benson, even though, you know, if I could trade Brooks to get Benson in something, I would absolutely do it every single day of the week. And it wouldn't even have to be much. I'm still 6, 7, maybe 8 wide receivers deep before I'm looking at running back. And again, I would understand wanting to take Brooks first. I just prefer Benson as a player, and I do think that being paired with Kyler Murray is going to be more advantageous than being paired with Bryce Young. Just because I don't think we saw enough with Bryce Young to be like, oh yeah, he'll be fine. There'll be plenty to go around. No one's afraid of Bryce Young throwing on them right now.
Looking at the RotoViz box score scout on our guy Trey Benson, top of the third round, putting him at pick 66 overall. His RotoViz scores, he's got a few 90-plus guys. None of them are great. We have 97 Kerryon Johnson, 95 Darius Geis, 92 Miles Sanders, and 90 Ben Tate. For those that don't know, the RotoViz box score scout, it basically compares all of the measurables you have, both production and combine-wise, along with your draft capital to find, okay, how similar are these guys to the next level of past players? So Trey Benson's similar to a lot of guys that we saw bust fanatically. I know, obviously, Darius Geis was a little bit more off-the-field stuff, but Trey Benson, career 68 rushing yards per game, one reception per game, total of 905 rushing yards in his final season. I agree that there is an argument for Trey Benson over Jonathan Brooks, but I think that most of the reports seem to have Jonathan Brooks coming back in September, October. And I value the immediate volume of Brooks over the quote unquote gap plus the draft capital. So like, I agree with you. It's probably 8-9 in Superflex, probably a little bit higher in non-Superflex for the Benson Brooks argument. But I will say at this, in this exact moment, I see Benson's upside in the Cardinals offense, you know, a lot higher than Brooks in the Panthers offense.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't really discount Brooks. I don't really think he's going to miss all that much time. But, you know, if there is any delay in that, then that's just going to delay his potential immediate production. Because, I mean, they do still have Chuba Hubbard, who we know that they have relied on. He's not amazing by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not just going to throw Brooks in there if he's not 100% and just coming off of the injury. So I would say that the production will probably be similar in 2024. And beyond that, we'll see what happens with James Conner in Arizona. And, you know, I think it could end up being fairly close. I just prefer the pairing with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, for sure. And they're both, like, there is a clear from an R, if we're talking about strictly an RB perspective, there is a gigantic drop-off from those two tier-wise to the next two in Blake Corum and Marshawn Lloyd, both in talent as well as the fact that Lloyd and Corum landed in less than ideal situations. So, you know, we're talking about James Conner blocking Trey Benson. Kyren Williams was one of the best RBs in the NFL last year. I don't think that cements Corum as, you know, dead dynasty wise, but it's certainly more of a roadblock than James Conner short and long term.
100%. Yeah, it's those two were tough, but at the same time, I think everybody kind of agreed that the gap was there as far as ability goes. Aside from one other player that ended up going into probably a worse spot than both of those, the guy that you were high on, who we'll talk about later. But, you know, it was very interesting for running backs.
All right, let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings. They didn't have to move up very far for their quarterback. Some thought they might have to go to 3. Some might have to go to 4 with the Cardinals. They end up going to 10, one pick up to get J.J. McCarthy to pair with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson. I know you're a big situation guy. I know that you're kind of a big Vikings guy after years of being a Cowboys guy for the first, like, 25 years of your life. So does J.J. McCarthy, J.J. Jefferson, is there an argument for QB2 there?
I mean, yeah. One, age. Two, you know, he's got Sam Darnold as the bridge quarterback right now, which...
That doesn't matter. J.J. McCarthy's starting week one. He's starting week one.
I don't think he is. I think Darnold, it's going to be Darnold for a little bit. But, yes, it's... There's no reason to push McCarthy. I know people don't like J.J. McCarthy, the same people that probably didn't like Brock Purdy and probably still think Brock Purdy is just the Shanahan puppet, which, sure, but what a better situation to be in than being Kyle Shanahan's puppet. Why not be KOC's puppet? We saw the most mediocre quarterback in the league be excellent with KOC and Kirk Cousins. And J.J. McCarthy is cut from the same cloth. He's a little bit more mobile, which is a big bonus. And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot, because Kirk had cement in his shoes.
Okay, but he's a little bit more mobile, but he's by far the least mobile of the four quarterbacks.
That's fine. Drake May sucks. J.J.'s QB3 for me, so there, take that for what it's worth. Yeah, I'd be hard pressed to not have JJ McCarthy in like mid QB2 range. I have him over Drake May. I'd probably have him in that Brock Purdy ballpark. You know, Jaden Daniels is going to be much higher. Caleb Williams obviously is going to be in the QB1 category, and Jaden's probably a fringe right now. But, you know, once you get to 10, 12, maybe 14 quarterbacks, it's hard to make a really good case for someone to go ahead of J.J. McCarthy. Like, once you get there, you're looking at, you know, Dak. Well, Dak's old, so in a vacuum, why not take the young quarterback with all of the upside? Tua, injury history, yada, yada, yada. You know, I wouldn't take J.J. over Tua, but, you know, conversation. J.J. versus Brock, I'm still taking Purdy there. J.J. versus Deshaun Watson. I mean, what have we seen in 5 years from Deshaun that would lead us to believe he's ever going to be back?
No, yeah. I mean, at this stage of Watson's career with what he has shown, like, you're taking any top 10 NFL draft quarterback, you're taking over Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would put J.J. in that 15 to 18 range, so we're...
Actually, hold on. I just said that. I'm taking Deshaun Watson over Michael Penix.
Oh, yeah. No, well, there's exceptions, right? Michael Penix shouldn't have been 8. He shouldn't have been 10. He shouldn't have been 12. He shouldn't have been 14. He could have been like 36. But yeah, no, I'm Michael Penix. That's for later.
We'll get there. But yeah, I said any top 10 quarterback is above Deshaun. Maybe not.
Well, so yeah, I mean, for me, JJ is definitely cemented as a QB2. And even if it's a slow start, I have full faith in KOC. And, you know, people want to dock JJ. Well, he never didn't ask him to throw. We didn't have to throw. He's on the national championship team. Same thing with Brock Purdy. Oh, he's not doing anything. Dude, he can't take over every game. And, I mean, is he Patrick Mahomes? Absolutely not. But neither are any of the other quarterbacks in this class. It's just... He's going to be the game manager type, but that doesn't mean that he can't throw. That doesn't mean he can't make all those different passes that Kirk Cousins made. We know he can do that. We watched him make them. They're going to ask him to have more passing volume, but this team has also brought in Aaron Jones, and they still have Ty Chandler, who they love, and they're going to run the football. They're going to play great defense because that's what they're built on with Brian Flores, and this offense is just going to be seamless. When you look at the weapons, anyone could go back there and make it serviceable that isn't a fourth or fifth string quarterback like the Vikings had to deal with last year.
Now, looking at the Rotoviz box score scout on J.J. McCarthy, not a lot of similar prospects to J.J. McCarthy, probably because his mix of being on this elite team and then going so high. The closest guys are 56 Mark Sanchez, 45 Andy Dalton, 43 Teddy Bridgewater. So good college quarterbacks that were in mostly good situations. But McCarthy just doesn't have the volume to be up there from a prospect perspective. For me, my ranking of McCarthy, I have him QB4 here, you know, below the quote unquote big three of May, Daniels, and Caleb Williams. But I will say today, and I have those three of Daniels, May, McCarthy, those three are much closer today than they were a month ago. A month ago, I thought there was a clear tier separation. I think they're in the same tier now.
For me, it's Caleb and Jaden, then a wildly large gap, then JJ. You know, you can throw Drake in there just because of the value insulation, but you go into the worst possible situation, the worst possible landing spot with no talent on the roster, and you're already more of a question mark, I would say, that because Drake May is essentially coming in as another one of these guys that has played 1 year. They have very few games under their belt. Your Trey Lances, your Blaine Gabberts, your these types of guys, right? So we haven't seen a lot from Drake May, and historically, that doesn't bode well. It,
sure,
it just
but
is.
He was behind an NFL quarterback, and also he had 2 years. 4,300 yards in 2022, 3,600 yards in 2023, 9.2 AYA in his first full season, 8.7 AYA in his second season. So two full seasons for Drake May after being behind an NFL quarterback in their last year, in his first year. So I'm not dinging him for any sort of lack of like playing time on Drake May.
Less of a, I mean, it's limited tape, I guess, if you will. We have the same thing where we only get so much of these guys, and after a certain amount of time, then they still don't look perfect. Not that anyone looks perfect as a prospect, but a lot of flaws with Drake and going into what is the worst landing spot for a quarterback, aside from signing a quarterback to a nine-figure deal and then drafting someone at eight. It doesn't get worse. So I think because of the just sheer upside of the situation for JJ, and I don't have a big gap in talent, because I would say, yes, talent-wise, Drake offers more than JJ. Landing spot is a complete 180. Get that man off my board. I got no interest in him. I will not own Drake May, as he is a New England Patriot.
Sure. I think that we're over-assigning.
Nope.
Nope. Well, let's just get the Patriots. So we're talking about May. I clearly disagree. I have him as QB2. You have him as QB4 here, but
you have May as QB2.
Yes.
Over Jaden.
We've played the Jaden game before. I was a day one Jaden guy. I was drafting him in 2019 in Devy.
You are out of your mind.
No, I'm not out of my mind. We've played the game of, oh, here's the mobile quarterback. He can do lots of stuff. And then he's like, okay. He's like, eh. I'm wary of the passing abilities of one Jaden is. Hold on, Ed. Let's get into the analytics here. Did you see the picture of his elbow? Did you see the picture of Jaden Daniels' elbow? Like, it's not human.
Exactly. He isn't a human. He's greater than any humans. he's a juiced up version of Lamar Jackson in college.
He's absolutely not that.
He's a significantly better thrower. He's a way better thrower. I would say Lamar's probably got him on the running. But Jaden's not far behind in that. And Jaden is a significantly better thrower than Lamar Jackson ever was in college.
Wait, here's a little sneak peek, Dan. Lamar Jackson had already had an MVP by the time Jaden Daniels is the age he's going to the NFL.
That's great. That's how age works.
Yes, he was an MVP. NFL MVP.
Again, great. He came into the league as a 20-year-old. Jaden is going to be completely fine, and having May at QB2 is absurd. Just the fact that he's on the Patriots excludes him from top three rights whatsoever.
It's ridiculous. All right, since we kind of bled into May there, Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, are you part of the cult of dynasty players that are saying to take Javon Baker over Jalen Polk?
Who do they play for?
The Patriots.
Yeah,
with
no,
Drake
I'm good.
May, the second best quarterback in this class.
I'm good on anything Patriots. You guys can have all the Patriots you want. New regime, bad team, bad everything. Go ahead, draft them. Have Drake May at quarterback too. It'll be a really good time.
It's gonna be a really good time having the second best quarterback in this draft.
Losing all of your value by getting Drake May at two when you can get him at four.
So my take here is I'll take Jalen Polk in the third. If he's falling there, top, you know, 35 draft capital for a guy falling that late, that's, you know, that's my type. That's the one I fall for every single year. And Javon Baker is the exact opposite of that. He's a guy that Dice Twitter loved, Devy to an extent Twitter loved, and he fell to the fourth or fifth round. I think it was fifth round. Javon Baker fell to the fifth round. So I am going to be avoiding him like the plague. So target Polk, I guess, in this ascending Patriots offense and
descending. Baker. It's going to continue to get worse before it gets better. Let's move on to the Falcons.
How could it get worse? Dan,
you're going to a quarterback that can't
you're
throw.
You're going from Mac Jones to Drake May. You're saying that's going to get worse?
It's a rookie quarterback in a bad offense in a bad situation with a bad team. They're going to get smoked.
That's just incorrect.
This might be the first 0-17 season in Patriots history.
Dan's ridiculous. All right. Speaking of ridiculous, I, and along with like every other person watching NFL draft, I couldn't believe my eyes when it was before the pick happened and the TV was showing like pictures of Michael Penix's living room. And I'm like, why are they showing pictures of Michael Penix's living room? And it
they knew.
Because moments later, the Atlanta Falcons were going to select Michael Penix to pair with their big free agency quarterback, Kirk Cousins. What is our dynasty outlook of these two players right now?
Well, let me just, you know, let me box score scout you this time since you've been box score scouting me. No, absolutely zero good sim scores. But there is one above 70. Exactly one.
Is it Brandon Whedon?
Nope. His sim score was 19. But he's the fourth highest on this list. It's Kenny Pickett. God. Second was Geno Smith. There's a little hope there. Drew Lock, Andy Dalton, Clayton Tune. It gets better after that, but that's also the furthest possible way you could be in sim score. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't dislike Michael Penix. Obviously, the injuries are a major concern. But now you're talking about a 24-year-old quarterback going into a situation that has a starter, a nine-figure starter, locked in for at minimum 2 years, more than likely three or four, depending on if his health holds up. So you're talking about a 24-year-old rookie not getting any looks until he is between 26 and 28, assuming health of one Kirk Cousins. Now, if Kirk isn't healthy and he's just going to get all this money and sit, then maybe Atlanta pulled one over on everybody, because I like Penix as far as an actual quarterback goes, but he's old and he's hurt and those don't bode well together. Plus, you put in that buffer of he's not going to start until he's going to have gray hair. So, yeah, that was wild to me. I'm hands off until we get some clarity on the situation, because as of right now, that just seems like it was the worst draft pick in the history of the NFL.
Okay, if we were to set an over-under on Michael Penix starts in the next 2 years at 2.5. Are you going over or under?
Under.
Do you think 3 years is when he's a full-time starter then?
Well, Atlanta is fully guaranteed for the first two.
Right.
And, I mean, you may as well not even roster a squad if you're going to try to do anything else with Kirk Cousins aside from playing.
Is there any chance that Kirk Cousins recovering from surgery, Michael Penix getting a full training camp as the QB1, they say, okay, Kirk, like, we're going to put you on IR, give Penix the first 6 weeks, and then we'll come back to you. Is that a chance? And then if that's a chance, then anything can happen, right?
Maybe. That's the thing. I mean, in this, we're assuming health for Kirk Cousins. If he's not healthy, maybe this was the move, because we know Penix is NFL ready. He can make all those throws. He's got the wits about him for it. His health has always been the greatest concern, and now potentially having to wait is another concern. So if Kirk's not healthy and Penix can go right away, great, move him up. But we don't know. We have no clarity on the whole situation. So I would say the likelihood of Penix starting in 2 years is very, very slim. However, if Kirk's not healthy, I think he could get the starts right away and just take over as a full-time starter. Because the upside of Kirk is essentially his floor, whereas the upside of Penix is potentially being their franchise quarterback even at 24, 25 years old.
Yeah, no, and the only problem, actually, I mean, one of the problems with this is a lot of times when you take a young quarterback, when you have a veteran quarterback, it's like, okay, if we get out of contention, then we will like put in the young guy or the young quote unquote young guy. The problem is the NFC South is so bad. No one is ever going to be, except for maybe the Panthers, no one's going to be out of it. The Falcons are going to be 7-9. The Bucks are going to be 7-9. The Saints are going to be 7. It's a truly awful division.
It's not good, but, you know, it's always going to be up for grabs, so there's not really going to be a time for – if that's the case, if they want to be like, well, we'll just see how the year goes, and then, Mike, if you can – you know, if we're bad, then you can play. But – I mean, they were 8-8 or 8-9 last year, right?
I mean, because that was the problem with 2022 Heinicke and Ritter is they were competing for the division. So they're like, we're just going to keep Heinicke in. And then, or was it Heinicke or was it somebody else? Because Heinicke might have been Washington. Whoever they had as the quarterback one with Ritter, like they kept him in longer because they were competing. From quote unquote draft capital, I'm targeting Penix and Superflex, but not until like 10, 11, 12 range. I guess while we're on Penix, Penix or Knicks right now?
Knicks, because Sean Payton, even though he's an absolute douche, I feel like that can work. That one to me makes more sense, which, you know, it's weird, but. He seems like a Peyton guy.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's toss up. I think Penix is the better quarterback.
So. Oh, I agree. I like the upside of
actually having the ability to start in the next 2 years.
Yeah, and not being. Well, I guess they're both old, aren't they? Isn't Nick?
Yeah, both like 24.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can be a place to work through the challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether that is friends, work, your significant other, or anyone. I think sometimes the biggest challenge for me is the relationship with myself. That is something that I have worked on with my therapist at BetterHelp over the course of the last 12 months that I have found be very beneficial. The main ones of those being learning positive coping skills to empower myself to be able to deal with certain situations in better ways than I was previously. I mentioned that relationship with myself. Having the therapy, having a therapist, and having the opportunity to discuss those things has helped me start 2024 with a more positive version of myself than in previous years. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit betterhelp.com/rotoviz today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/rotoviz.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, let's go to our tier three wide receivers. Obviously, there might be some debate whether some of these guys belong. But for me, this is pretty much what tier three looks like with wide receivers. Tier one, Marvin Harris Jr. alone. Tier two, Neighbors and O'Dunn's. Some might say it's tier one, MHA. Tier two, Neighbors. Tier three, O'Dunn's. And then you get to this tier. Either way, tier three, I think, is much more bunched up than the top is. I have this list as Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Leggett, Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, and maybe Adonai Mitchell. So what are your thoughts from this group? I know you can start off if you want to with you think that Leggett does not belong here, potentially Adonai Mitchell doesn't belong here. So what are your favorites and least favorites from this group?
Well, Brian Thomas doesn't belong here for a different reason, because he's better than Romo Dunze. So, I mean, I like Neighbors. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. is Marvin Harrison Jr. Better landing spot than, I mean, well, probably the best landing spot for Brian Thomas Jr. So, to me, I have him as wide receiver three. Again, I understand how draft capital works, but I also understand how quarterbacks work. And Neighbors probably got the shortest end of the stick. Then Odunze, and then, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. at least has a decent quarterback. But give me Trevor Lawrence all day, every day, over the rest of these landing spots. So Brian Thomas for me is a, I would say, tier two wide receiver. And Leggett, that to me is going to forever be one, just a head scratcher. Ricky Pearsall, I understand the love. Xavier Worthy, obviously, but this is just going to be another run fast guy bust. Keon Coleman, I love. Obviously the landing spot is fun, but Ladd McConkey is another one that I think is great. A.D. Mitchell is one that I thought would go much higher. I was surprised to see him fall, but, you know, the NFL, they're the ones drafting, not us, right? So I would say my favorites here, Brian Thomas, but in my opinion, he doesn't even belong in this list. And then it would probably be Keon Coleman and Ladd McConkey. But value-wise, I mean, they're all going to be pretty similar. I'm not touching Xavier Leggett with a 10-foot pole, I will say that. Ricky Pearsall, I think, I don't, like, overly dislike. I just think there's a couple of these guys I'm taking before him. Coleman and McConkey I'm probably taking pretty comfortably, and then it's probably Pearsall, then Worthy, man, and I love A.D. Mitchell. Draft capital makes that tough. I still think Xavier Leggett is by far the worst wide receiver on this list, and, you know, the rest of them, I would say you could just pick a name out of the hat.
Is that rookie drafts and Dice Twitter agrees with you, so he's going to be the cheapest on this list, maybe except for Mitchell.
Yeah, but I mean, he's going to be cheap, great, but do we even want to take a cheap look? And because you're still wasting a first round draft pick in order to get Xavier Leggett.
You're not using a first on Leggett.
And not in Superflex.
Yeah.
He's a second. Mid-second in Superflex, but yeah. That's...
I mean, yeah, he's probably like one-two turn in one QB. All right, let's go on to the Bears. Outside of MHA, the pick that we saw coming the most, the one we did see coming the most was Caleb Williams at quarterback going one overall. He is the 101 in Superflex. You know, really the question is how far high? How high do we put Caleb Williams in our quarterback rankings as he goes into this offense? A lot of Bears fans, Nick Whalen, who we've had on the show years ago, said that this is one of the best situations that a number one overall pick has ever gone to. With now we have Romo Odunze, we have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. Are you in agreement with that? That he's going into a tailor-made situation with the Bears?
Absolutely. The only thing that isn't good about this is this man hasn't played a freaking snap, and he's Tom Brady, according to him. It's good to have confidence. It is not good to be Johnny Manziel minus the drugs. Wait, I get it.
Are you saying Nick Whalen is confident or Caleb Williams is confident?
Caleb Williams, not okay, Nick. Yeah, sure. No, I appreciate Nick's love for the Bears, but you know, the situation itself, they've got all of the playmakers that they could possibly want, and then you've got one that's just going to hold onto the ball for too long and get sacked by actual NFL athletes.
Dan, you can't possibly be doing this right now.
What, Caleb Williams holding on to the ball too long? No one said that. All right, well, let's play a little Would You Rather. I'm not going to include any of the top four for obvious reasons, which that would be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. Agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we get to five. So Caleb Williams or C.J. Stroud.
We said Stroud last week.
I will stab you with this screwdriver.
Stroud.
Justin Herbert.
Herbert.
Burrow. Lawrence.
Caleb.
What?
Here's the thing. We've seen enough, like,
his whole career.
And you're Mr. Injury Prone. If he's been hurt his whole career, you want to take Caleb Williams.
He plays injured. Okay. All right. That's ridiculous, but next one. Anthony Richardson.
Caleb easily for me.
I think it's Caleb there as well. I wouldn't say easily. I think Richardson has more potential, which sounds crazy, but
fantasy, he has more potential because of the legs. Like, if he has a 10 touchdown Cam Newton type ceiling, like, that's QB1.
Yeah, that's what the thing. I legitimately see, like, Cam there. And Caleb, I see Kyler, and he would be the last one on my comparative list. Caleb and Kyler, we would take Caleb, yeah?
Yeah, strictly from a fantasy, like, floor situation, like, a fantasy value floor situation. Because Kyler, at this point, with how the dynasty community is valuing Kyler, he has to have a top six season, or like they're going to drop him down to like a mid QB2.
And I will be buying every day of the week, every day of the week. Cause that's Batman's free points. He's only 26 years old. Sure. He's only 3.5 feet tall, but that man is free fantasy points. So Caleb, yeah, I mean, he's a QB1. No one's not saying that he isn't a QB1. Value wise, it's insulated. He's going to be completely fine. Top eight, top nine, top 10. He's there. I don't think there's an argument for that, especially when you consider the amount of weapons that are in in Chicago and the potential, right? That to me has some really, really good insulation. I just would struggle to get him any higher than where he's at right now, unless he turns in, you know, an all-time rookie season. I don't see how he gets past anybody that's in front of him in the near future. Unless Joe Burrow continues to get hurt, unless Justin Herbert's hand falls off, if C.J. Stroud makes a complete U-turn. So we're talking about extremes in order for Caleb to move higher.
Does him being, quote-unquote, ahead of or over Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, even Trevor Lawrence, does it matter? Like, if he's scoring QB1 points, if he's – you know, scoring 21 points per game and all those guys you just mentioned are scoring 22 points per game, who cares?
I mean, I'd rather have 22 than 21, no?
Yeah, sure. But in a super flex league, I don't think that having C.J. Stroud, like, I'm not saying this is an excuse to rank him over. I'm saying just you should just rank him the same as those guys if he's scoring the same amount of points.
I mean, sure, but you're still not taking him over them. That's what I'm saying. It's not like a clear, like, oh, yeah, absolutely, Caleb over all these guys. He's going to get into that tier. He's going to be in that tier. Right now, he's just outside of that tier, and he starts the next one. That's where I'm at.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. And it is definitely, like, we've done this with running backs a lot, which running backs are a little bit different. We've done this a lot with running backs over the last 10 years where it's like, this guy can't be RB1 because he hasn't touched the field yet. And then immediately they touch the field and, oh, Todd Gurley's the RB1. Oh, Jonathan Taylor's the RB1.
Yeah, but they were good.
And Caleb Williams right now is like, oh, Caleb Williams can't be over Justin Herbert. He hasn't touched the field yet. And then the moment he touches the field and Harbaugh's having Justin Herbert, you know, run with Kamani Vidal 18 times a game, then you're like, hold on, I'll take the volume with Caleb Williams. So I think there is a degree of like, oh, we'll see it when we see it with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. I think I do this once a year, Dan. Here we go. In the arms of the angel, far away.
Oh, hit the high note.
In the arms of the plenty, you too can save a day three running back today. Did your day three running back have the best season a 17-year-old has ever had in the Big Ten, ever, ever, ever? Should they have been at minimum a day two running back? Did they get drafted to a situation that already has one of the top five running backs in the NFL? Do you want to cry about Braylon Allen going to the Jets in the fourth round? Then you too can donate to the cause of Nathan's tears about Braylon Allen today. There's not much spin zone here. He's screwed. Like, the absolute highest you can put him is a two, three turn guy. And even that's probably stretching it. Braylon Allen's cooked.
I mean, how is this situation worse than Corum or Lloyd or Ray Davis or Bucky Irving? Or, I mean, the only one you could argue it would be like Audric Estime going to Denver as like a better, like a good spot out of all of these.
He was an end of the fourth round pick with a clearly top five, like the guys you mentioned, like, I would have rather Braylon Allen gone to Tampa. He would have been much more of an argument to be a mid second round pick if that was the case, maybe even higher. I'm not necessarily saying that he is way behind Bucky Irving or Audric Estime or any of those guys. It's just that the state of this running back class is like the one guy that's like over him that like is the real argument. You said Lloyd. Like, do you want Lloyd clearly behind Josh Jacobs or Allen, who I think is more talented than Lloyd, behind Breece Hall? That is like the argument-ish. The draft capital me won't really allow me to take Allen over Lloyd, but that would be the argument.
I'm taking Allen over Lloyd. I don't think Marshawn Lloyd's even very good. The problem is getting him any higher than any of that, but once you get past Jalen Wright, even though that also feels yucky because, I mean, that backfield, there's really no good running back landing spots here at all. We have to hope for injury in order for any of these guys to hit outside of Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks. Everyone's cooked.
No, yeah. We talked about it pre-draft when we were talking about like comparing 2023 and 2024 classes. There was a chance that like after two running backs, they don't matter. And I think right now they don't matter.
They don't matter.
I'm loading up, you know, the analytics haven't been kind to day two wide receivers lately, but I'm loading up on the day two wide receivers ahead of basically all of the running backs not named Benson and Brooks.
Yeah. Very easily. I'm putting most of the day two wide receivers ahead of Benson and Brooks. Because I still don't think they're very good. They're the highest drafted running backs in this class, but that's like being the biggest pile of crap at the dog park.
All right, let's wrap up with, you just mentioned you're not a big Marshawn Lloyd fan. What are your thoughts on, does Lloyd have any impact on Josh Jacobs with the new signing? What is it with these teams signing like defined veterans that should be, you know, easy number ones of their position, and then be like, oh, let's spend high draft capital on this position?
The days of workhorse running backs, those days are dead, unfortunately. So we now all have to suffer in the committee land. I don't know that Marshawn Lloyd is going to do enough to push Josh Jacobs for any amount of touches outside of just simply spelling him. They do still have A.J. Dillon for whatever reason, because he hasn't proven anything over the last couple of years, and I think everyone knows that I am an A.J. Dillon fan. I'm not worried about Dillon for Lloyd. I just don't see how either of these guys supplants Josh Jacobs in any stretch of the imagination. I mean, Josh Jacobs is only, what, 26 years old, 27 years old? In his prime, in one of the fastest, I don't think we've seen offenses gain gain like this, like the Packers offense has, with just a bunch of nobodies. Jordan Love at quarterback, who random first round quarterback a long time ago that everyone made fun of, looking very good. And then a hodgepodge of a bunch of wide receivers that no one knows the names, but they have four guys that have legitimate dynasty value. We don't know what's happening at tight end, but we know what's happening at running back, and it's going to be Josh Jacobs all day, every day.
Looking at Marshawn Lloyd's sort of his sim score, a couple of bad ones, but we got one good one. We have a 94 sim score with one Devonta Freeman. You know, one of the best running backs of the early 2010s, but some bad ones with 99 TDP, 99 DJ Dallas, and 93 Rotoviz Wonder. If you've been subscribed to Rotoviz for 10 years, 12 years, 14 years, Nile Davis, Dan. Remember the Rotoviz love for one Nile Davis?
I do. I do. I never understood it, but I remember it.
All right, Dan, any last words for today?
No, I'm looking forward to more rookie talk and for you to trade me this 304 pick that you have in Kadush currently.
It already got drafted.
Malachi Corley. Son of a bitch.
All right, that should wrap us up for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week.
You're not going to hit him with it?
Oh, Kadush Corley.